Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You tuned into Radio Islam International with me, Bibi Aisha Lahe, on Youth Talk, also simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. This morning, I am sitting in front of a panel of experts, people who deal with the issues of blended families and step-parenting almost on a daily basis. Now, when we talk about blended families and step-parenting, the minute you hear the word step, are we still the type of generation who think about fairy tales and think of the wicked stepmother and the evil stepfather? Are we the generation that is moving forward and realizing that there is nothing wrong when a woman whose husband passes on and decides to remarry, that is completely halal and acceptable? Are we the generation that has come to realize that when somebody is divorced, whether they have children or not, it is completely halal for them to remarry, and they can even marry someone with children? There is nothing wrong with that. May Allah accept their efforts. What we need to do today is empower and educate ourselves with the reality of what is happening outside. Yes, like we said, there is nothing wrong for couples to remarry. There is nothing wrong for a woman who has never been married before to marry someone who has children from a previous marriage. We also talk about polygamous marriages where there are children there. There is also a form of a blended family. But then we're also talking about how does being part of a blended family affect young children in a positive way, in a negative way? What happens when these young children become teenagers? What roles do the extended family members play in making the blended family a happy family, or is the influence negative? So all these questions that you may have had, that you're thinking about, if you are part of a blended family, I urge you to please call us on 011-854-1548. Please share with us your views, your opinions. Our lines will be open from after the first ad break, and we will be discussing blended families in detail. Like we said, stepmother, stepfather, we need to get away with those labels, and moving forward, what can we do to make sure that our family life is a healthy and prosperous one, and we're living in a way that Allah will be pleased with us, inshallah. So my guests today are Sister Rehana Adam, who is a senior counselor for the past 19 years at Islamic Helpline Indonesia. She specializes in complex family matters. My other guest on the panel is Sister Nabila Mahdi, who is a play therapist, also based at Islamic Helpline, who deals primarily with young children, also from blended families, who have difficulty adjusting. I also have in front of me Joshna Lachman, who is a social worker at Family Life Center, who works closely with Islamic Helpline. Later on in the show, we're going to be speaking to Brother Mohammed Makra, who is a life coach, as well as a discipline officer at one of the high schools in Indonesia. So, good morning and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to my guests in studio.
Wa alaikum salam.
Good morning.
Okay, I think the first thing that we need to talk about is, please define for me, sisters, what is a blended family?
Okay, I think before we define what is a blended family, we need to understand what a nuclear family is. So a nuclear family is a mother, a father, and of course the offspring. When it comes to a blended family, of course, the mother, the biological mother and father are no longer in the relationship, and therefore they separated and they bring new parents into a relationship, which means now the child has a mother, a stepfather, and of course the additional children that come into this equation.
Mm-hmm. That is the nuclear.
This is where the blended family comes in.
Okay. If we can talk a little bit more about examples of blended family. Because, you know, the common thing is that if a parent gets divorced and remarries, or say if a person is a widow or widower or remarries, that is not the only type of blended family, am I correct?
Yes, I think you are right on that. The word blended has become quite a buzzword around. And a lot of the times blended could mean also people coming together from different religious perspectives as well. So that's also a blend of some sorts. Blended could also mean coming from different race groups. It's also a blend. So it's not necessarily only a mom and a dad that are separated and they've now rejoined another family, it could also mean different religious backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
It could also mean different race backgrounds or cultural backgrounds. It's also considered blended.
Blended, and adjustment can be very difficult.
Difficult, yes.
No, most definitely. Okay, ladies, I need to ask you this. I know when I mentioned this when we began the show, you know, that stigma or the generalization of evil stepmother, wicked stepfather, you know, all of these ideas come from fairy tales. Sometimes, you know, when you watch programs or you listen to stories, how far away are we from that? Or are we still living in that bubble world? Sister Rehana?
When I think about that, if you look at the fairy tales that we read to the children, I mean, they are very little bedtime stories and things like that.
Mm.
I don't think I've come across one stepmother that's a good person in any of the stories.
Mm.
So from that little impressionable age, you are telling that child that a step parent is evil.
Mm.
And also, like you mentioned, media.
Mm.
You know, so our children, unfortunately, these days watch too much TV. And so on there as well, you will see that a step-parent is not put across as a person, a loving, caring parent. It's as though that person is the enemy to the child.
So there's this prejudgment or preconceived notion before that person already comes in, because there's all these ideas from outside.
Put into the child's mind.
A step-person is this outsider, mm-hmm. this bad person who's going to come and cause problems in our family.
Exactly.
And that's a terrible thing, especially for a young child, young children in a marriage.
Yes.
Lots of anxiety.
Lots of anxiety, fear, and also now it's also if it's a young child, the child has now got to learn to share even more. So what I'm saying is, for example, even though parents get divorced, you never divorce from your child.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
You must remember that always. And don't ever, even if you're going through a divorce, don't divorce your child from your spouse.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Two people are getting divorced. The children still belong to both parents.
Mm.
So don't ever stop your child from seeing the other parent, number one. Now, think of it from the child's perspective. The child now was used to the fact that I love my daddy, I love my mommy. But my mommy and daddy don't love each other anymore. So now they're going to put another person in the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm supposed to love that daddy or that mommy. But I love my mommy or my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
The child's confused. The child also goes through a lot of insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
If my mommy stopped loving my daddy, when will she stop loving me? Will she stop loving me?
That is so true.
So you have to be aware of all these things. And it doesn't mean if a child is a 3-year-old or a 2-year-old, they don't understand.
Most definitely. You know, I just need to share with the listeners an incident a few years ago. Someone quite close to me, she was very, very young at the time. And the one day she came and she asked a question to say that in my classroom at school, all my friends have 2 mummies and 2 daddies. And they always get presents when it's Eid and when it's their birthdays. And why do I only have 1 mummy and 1 daddy? What's wrong? And I promise, I think I was so baffled that I have this young girl who's asking me something like this, because she's in an environment where so many of her peers whose parents have been divorced or separated or whatever the reason is, and she felt that she was left out because she only has 1 mother and 1 father. And I promise you, I actually didn't even know how to answer that question.
Exactly.
I was really far from equipped to answer that question. So you know, we need to face reality that there are blended families out there.
Mm-hmm.
And what can we as society do to make it easy for the transition for everybody that's involved in that blended family? That's what we need to do. So I think the important thing is to stop labeling.
For sure. And I think that's a big question that you've brought up. The normal norm is that, you know, as Nabila spoke about, that we think about a family as nuclear.
Yes.
And we don't realize that there are so many different types of families.
Yes.
And structures around how they are constituted. And when somebody doesn't fit into that, they almost feel left out and sort of in a way bullied. You know, the feeling of being bullied and left out and hopeless. That's the feeling that they have. And unfortunately, many, many of our this generation. Mm-hmm. They're not equipped to emotionally cope with certain things.
Most definitely.
And that's because we don't speak openly about what's happening around us.
Mm-hmm.
And in truth, mm-hmm. when you speak about it, we have so many families that have disintegrated from the normal norm of mother and father, and has been now with a mother, a stepfather, a father, a stepmother, sometimes not even that, or grandparents, etc. So there's so much of movement going on within the family
mm-hmm.
that children don't have clue, or they don't understand, or they can't define a role.
What a very good point that you've highlighted, Sister Joshna, and I just want to add on to that. The common problems that you find in young children from blended families, like Sister Rihanna mentioned, obviously there's a lot of fear and anxiety mm-hmm. that if my mommy and daddy stop loving each other, will they stop loving me?
For
and
sure.
like that, we don't see that. And obviously children act up. But other problems that you find, you know, with young children, like I said, someone came to ask me, there is something wrong with me, why do I only have one parent? That's
yes.
now a whole other angle. But what have you observed? Sister Nabila, would you like to add to that?
Okay, so I think with regard to this, we see it come out in anger. Children react in an aggressive way, whether it be at school, whether it be towards other siblings, whether it be towards parents. Children come in and parents come in and they're extremely frustrated. My child keeps throwing tantrums, they're angry and aggressive, they're bullying or they're being bullied at school and I don't know what to do. So what happens is, when children don't know what to do with their emotions, they start reacting in an aggressive manner.
Mm-hmm.
And that, for any parent, needs to be a warning to say, let me find out what's going on with my child.
Yes.
Let me start speaking to my child and understanding what they're feeling. Are they feeling sadness? Are they feeling loneliness? Are they experiencing some sort of anxiety or fear? You need, as a parent, you need to start validating these emotions that the child is feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Or else the easiest way for it to come out is in an aggressive manner.
Mm-hmm. Do you think society is largely to blame when we refer to the other mummy or other daddy as stepfather, stepmother? Do you think maybe if we stop doing that and say maybe Auntie Nabila or Auntie Bibi Aisha or Uncle this, I'm just as an example, I'm just taking his name. And you know, I'm just thinking, as a parent, if your ex-husband or, you know, somebody now remarries, how much is your influence on your child going to impact that relationship?
It's very important. It's very important. For example, say you decide now you started a new relationship
mm-hmm.
and now it's getting serious in the sense that now you feel you should get married. Okay? So before you get married, I think it's important to sit around and have almost like a family meeting kind of thing. So make sure that if he's got children from another marriage, you've got children from another marriage, you all sit together and talk about it. Get everybody's feelings out. Also, if I may just add to what Nabila said before that, we noticed that Helpline is in existence for, Islamic Helpline is in existence for 19 years.
Yes.
And we've noticed when we started Helpline, we didn't even have play therapy.
Mm.
We didn't offer that. There was sort of, maybe there was a need, but it wasn't that prevalent. And now, Nabila will tell you, how many therapists do we have, play therapists?
Six.
And it's amazing.
And they're all busy, Nabila?
Yeah.
They're all busy.
Yes.
On average, we have 15 new cases of play therapy a month.
Sure.
And that's
besides
a huge amount.
Cases that
is a huge amount. And the range of children that you're dealing with in play therapy?
Okay, so play therapy is from the ages of 4 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
After 13, it then becomes teenager adolescent counseling. So when I say play therapy, I mean between the ages of 4 to 12.
So when you're dealing with children between 4 and 12, and they're coming from blended families, right, like we said, what are the most common problems that you find in these young children when they're doing play therapy? What are they telling you?
Look, again, like I said, it's all about the emotions. They don't, you must remember, at this age, children don't know how to express the emotions.
Mm.
They don't know how to talk about what they're feeling. So you get a child that will come in and he would be extremely, in fact, the other day I had a very odd case where there was a couple that was fighting in the next room, and this four-year-old could hear the fight.
Mm.
And he suddenly took all of the toys that were there and he started throwing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I let him play, because that's what we do with play. We allow the child to express themselves freely. And then I took note of that and I asked the parent, what's going on? Why did this child react in this way when he heard another set of people fighting.
Mm.
So it's in small ways they react, and they can communicate to us what they're feeling.
Do young children often tell you that I think maybe my parents are not together? I mean, like I said, for whatever reason couples get divorced, Allah knows best. We are not here to judge. Right? But too often do you hear young children, they come and tell you that I think my parents are not together anymore because I was bad.
Yes. That is very common. Children don't understand that adults have their own issues, adults have their own grievances, and that's why they get divorced and not because of them. So a lot of the time, children take the blame onto themselves.
How do you advise parents to reassure their children, especially with young children? With older children, they can communicate. We're going to talk about the older children and how they react to all of this. But for young children, let's focus on young children for now. You know, what's your advice to mums and dads that when they're ready to remarry?
I think we were just chatting about this earlier on, and very often the question that needs to be asked is, what are the intentions behind re-entering into the new relationship or remarrying? And the intentions often governs what's going on and what the dynamics will be. For example, is your intention to just have another mother for my children? Is the intention for emotional security, financial security, housing? What is the intention?
That is so important.
And often what we've been picking up a lot when we do have clients that come in like this is that they've never spoken about what brings them to that point of remarrying.
Are you serious?
Never.
So couples, if they want to remarry, like I said, it could be a widow or widower, someone who's never been married before, marrying someone with children, have they never once sat down and say, aside from me and you, there is a whole other family out there. So it's not just going to be me and you, there's this extended family, and I'm going to be involved in there. Have they not?
They do talk about that, but it's almost like it's taken for granted that it's part of the deal. It's part of the package. What I find often is that simple things are not communicated about. Simple things like about how are we going to discipline the children? How are we going to parent the child? Who is going to be responsible for that? How do I feel about the child visiting the other parent? How do you feel about my child visiting other parent?
And you would think that would be the first thing that needs to come up because...
No, that
it's
often happens once
in
the relationship.
And then sometimes I'm sure once in the relationship they realize, I don't need this, this is too much for me, I'm walking out, which is not the right thing to do. That obviously shows they're not adequately prepared.
No, they're not. And this is a big thing that we've been saying, that often they're not prepared. And one of the programs, I know Islamic Helpline offers it as well as Family Life Center, is our Prepare and Reach program. And that is such a lovely and useful program for couples to go through. Because that speaks to them about defining what they want, how they want it, to have a communication around that, and opening up those doors that you don't want to talk about.
Another thought that's just coming to my mind is, like you say, if a couple is ill-prepared when they're introducing this new parent into a blended family, and, you know, Allah forbid, the relationship doesn't work, imagine this young child who now bonds with this mummy or this daddy, and this daddy or mummy is gone away again.
And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about loss. We're talking about the anxiety that it creates. We're talking about then that cycle of grieving.
Yes.
They're not adequately able to go through these processes. So what's happening, it's all stunted. And it becomes almost like it bottles up on top of each other.
And we easily say, you know, these are young children. They're resilient. They'll be okay. We don't realize that, you know, they're children and they need to be prepared for all of this.
Yeah.
Sure, this is such an in-depth topic. There's so many things that we are still going to be covering. We are going to break for an ad. Please call us on 011-854-1548 if you are part of a blended family. If you know of anyone in your family that's part of a blended family, please share with us your experiences. What are your thoughts about stepmother, stepfather? What can we do as society to stop labeling and embracing and remembering at the end of the day, we want people to live in a manner that is halal. We want people to live in a manner where they have peace and where children feel safe, inshallah. So we will be continuing with this topic after the ad break. Jazakumullahu khair. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back on to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Radio Islam International, Media Wave 1548, DSTV 826. And as well as Simulcast on Sirius FM 105.7. This morning we're talking about blended families and step-parenting. In front of me I have a panel of ladies from Islamic Helpline, Sister Rihanna Adams, Sister Nabila Mahdi, as well as Joshua Lachman, who is from the Family Life Center. Later on we will be speaking to Brother Mohammed Makra. We spoke a lot about young children and them adapting to the idea of being part of a blended family. We spoke about it in the first half of the show. Let's get on to how teenagers deal with blended families. Before I do that, I urge our listeners to call us on 011-854-1548. If you are a teenager who's part of a blended family, if you are a parent who's part of a blended family, what can we do is society, the community, to stop with the labels, to stop saying step-brother and half-brother and just say my brother, my sister. Stop saying stepmother and stepfather and saying my father, my mother, my ummi, my abi. You know, learn to love, respect, and like I said, it works both ways. Now, with younger children, we said, you know, there's lots of feelings of anxiety, of fear, of where do I fit in, will my mommy love me, does my daddy not love me anymore? What happens when it comes to teenagers? To my panel, very common problem, I would assume. You know, we all know girls are very attached to their fathers. So if, you know, their parents are divorced, or if, daddy remarries. I think we have a caller. We have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum, Bibi Aisha. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Who am I speaking to?
Rukaya.
How are you, Sister Rukaya?
Alhamdulillah. How are you?
Shukr alhamdulillah, my darling. What would you like to talk
I'd
about?
I'd like to say what a beautiful program I'm living. It's so lovely to hear someone talking about stepchildren, stepfather, stepmother.
Sister
Aisha, I don't say they mustn't get married. It's right. They have to get married. You're a widow or you're a widower. But then the father forgives the first wife's children. What do you do then, Sister Aisha?
Okay.
Then he's only busy with his second wife's children. And the first wife's children are left behind. They don't even worry about them, don't care about them. And as it is, it's only a mother that suffers, not the father.
Okay, sister, what we're going to do is we're going to ask our panel of experts. I think Sister Joshna is she's eager to answer this. She's a social worker who deals with these issues. Sister, would you please like to answer?
Thank you, Rukshana. It is Rukshana.
Rukaya.
Rukaya, sorry
Rukaya.
About that.
Yes.
I think what you're speaking about is something very common that has been happening, and we do see that quite a lot. Often what I would suggest and I would recommend is that when we're faced with situations like that, I would rather call in both parties sometimes. And often people don't want to reconnect on that level with readdressing these issues with the party that they've separated from. But I think it's vital and it's important, because at the end of the day, as was said earlier on, the children are still the children. They are not divorced from either parent. Right? So in terms of that, I often call both parties in to say we need to reconcile and relook at the dynamics and revisit the way you should be parenting this child, or you should be involved in this child's life. And it's almost like recontracting. I know it sounds terrible, like we're recontracting, it sounds so formal, but it's also important, because many people just get on with their lives. They forget, like you said earlier on, they forget about the other children that they have, they forget about the other wife that they've had, they forget about their responsibilities there. And what we need to do is remind them to come back to their responsibilities, because this is an adult making a decision.
Yes.
And an adult needs to take responsibility for that decision. And there are consequences to these decisions that they need to be aware of. And My take on this is that we need to get them in together to discuss these issues.
Anyway, Sister Aisha.
Gee.
Allah bless you all, inshallah.
Ameen.
Allah Pak reward you all for the most beautiful program.
Ameen.
For the most beautiful words you convert on Radio Islam. Allah. Dunya maabi Allah Pak tamne inshallah maqfira
tajamne. Ameen.
Maabi Allah Pak to you people the highest. Grant you all in
general. Ameen, Dumma, Ameen, Rabbal Alameen, and for you too, sister, and to your family, and may Allah grant ease, inshallah.
Jazakallah khairin, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, barakallahu feekum. May God make it easy for the sister and her family. But like we say, very common problem. And you know, something that we spoke about just now is, you know, girls are very attached to their daddies. And maybe mom has passed on. Or maybe mom and dad are now divorced and daddy wants to get married. And I'm talking now more about teenage girls. Is that a common problem where they feel jealous if their father wants to be married?
Definitely. Definitely. Because, I mean, any little girl, most girls, their hero is their dad.
Yes.
Even the boys, but more so the mommy, the dad and the daughter.
Yes.
That's his precious angel.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, you just have to see a father on his daughter's wedding day and know, you know, now another man's going to be in her life.
Yes.
And I'm not going to be the most important man in her life.
That's
but
true.
Now going further with teenagers, I think the dynamics are even more complex.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're a teenager in itself, you have so much to deal with.
Yes.
Now you're a teenager, and at that stage, if your mom or dad decides to remarry, you're going to have lots of different feelings about that.
Mm-hmm.
And what needs to happen there is, say for example, like you said, let's take a scenario of where a man has been widowed.
Mm-hmm.
So now obviously he wants to remarry. So if he has a teenage daughter in the home, I think before he marries, he should have not one but many discussions with his daughter and say, look, I'm interested in remarrying and these are my reasons for remarrying. Because, like, I remember a while back I had a client who, she was a teenager and her mom had passed on,
mm-hmm.
quite young, and her dad and she lived sort of as a little family for a while.
Yes.
And so she took over the role of her mom. So she used to cook for him, and in her mind she was looking after her dad.
Mm-hmm.
So when her dad remarried, she sort of, everything just changed in her life.
Mm-hmm.
She was an A student, she used to get, you know, be the top student in the class, and she just like sort of lost interest in school and everything. And she isolated herself from her dad. And her dad brought her to me saying that he wants her to have a relationship with her stepmom.
Mm-hmm.
And why does she not come and have meals with us? Why does she, you know, reject the stepmom totally?
She was feeling threatened.
Yes. Mm. And you won't believe me, this girl, when she came in for the first four sessions, she refused to talk to me. She just cried all the time.
Aww.
And her dad brought her for counseling after 1.5 years after her mom passed away.
Yeah.
And so I just let her vent. And then every time the dad brought her, before they would leave, he'd ask me, oh, so did you fix it up? Did you fix it up? And I said to her, to him, you know, you can't just fix it up. You can't put a band-aid on it and say it's going to get fixed.
Yeah.
Allow her to vent first.
Yeah.
And only after the fifth session, she started telling me how she feels. And the first question she said, what is the need for him to get married? I was doing whatever my mom was doing for him.
Lying.
So she didn't understand the difference between being a wife and a daughter.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think girls do become very possessive over their fathers, and they would look at this person now as an intruder.
Yes. And I have to explain to her that, yes, you are doing everything. You're doing a sterling job. But your dad needs a companion.
Yes.
And there are certain roles that you can't play for your dad.
Most definitely.
So she's not in competition to you.
Mm-hmm.
She's not this new mommy is not in competition to you. She compliments you.
Yes. Yes, very important, very important. And we're going to be discussing in depth later, you know, how to prepare families before they, you know, want to remarry and how to gradually introduce this new person in the family. I think Nabila wants to add to that.
Okay, so your question was how do teenagers react to blended families?
Yes.
So I think this is where when the teenager is not transitioning correctly, this is when they turn to drugs and alcohol for comfort.
Mm-hmm.
As parents, this is what we need to be aware of. And another place that teenagers are seeking comfort these days in very unhealthy manners is social media.
Yes.
So social media can be used and abused a lot. Mm-hmm. So this is where some guy comes along and he offers support to her, and she wants the attention from this new person in her life because now the dad is no longer playing an active role in her mm-hmm. life. And this mm-hmm. is when she finds comfort in this male on social media, and that's when things can go very out of control.
Most definitely. To any of the sisters on the panel, to what extent do you think that a parent, you know, obviously, like I said, it's completely halal for them to get married. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And to what extent have you dealt with families where a parent will say, you know, it's been over 2 or 3 years now that I've remarried and my child is causing a lot of problems in my marriage, and I just think now this is temper tantrums and I can't deal with this anymore. It could be maybe a man or a woman that has come to you and say that my teenage child needs to realize that I also have a life. What is your advice to them? Have you come across cases like that often?
Yes, most definitely.
Yes.
We have many cases like that.
Mm.
And you must remember something. Children know how to manipulate
yes.
parents.
Yes. Yes.
They learn that from a little age.
Yes.
How many little baras they will start manipulating you?
Mm.
So the first time the child has that major tantrum and you give in to it, the child knows exactly how to play you.
Mm.
So she will wrap her daddy around her little finger, or she'll wrap whoever around her little finger. Now, when they're older, also, now they manipulate in different ways.
Mm.
So now they try to look for ways in which they can separate or break this marriage.
It can happen. Okay, now we're saying she a lot, right? So we're not just labeling
not
girls, but I'm saying
well,
even
boys,
because I'm sure sometimes with boys as well, you know, if you have, I don't even like using the word stepfather. Mm-hmm. Let's say your other daddy, and you did something wrong, and he's standing firm with your mom, and he's disciplining you, and then you get this teenage boy saying, but you're not my father.
Exactly.
Yes. And I think that also comes back to the fact that from the very beginning,
mm-hmm.
how do you communicate the new roles? How do you define these new roles? And communication, just constantly, how do you communicate within this new system? Is it open? Is it just taken for granted? Or people are assumed to just take on a responsibility and a role without a discussion?
Mm.
So those are big things that don't happen in homes.
Which is true.
And
most definitely. Like I said, when we're talking about the transition also, we need to also realize that when we say teenagers, you know, and even young children manipulate, and mm-hmm. they can cause a problem, because also I'm sure they can also go to extended families where they could go to maybe the grandparents and say, you know, this uncle that now married my mommy hit me and he did this, or this auntie, and it can be such a lie. And, you know, sometimes the extended family members could listen to the story and then start labeling this person without knowing the whole story. So to what extent do the extended family members play a role in making a blended family a happy one or a miserable one? Okay, go for it.
Okay.
So can we
yes,
add on?
We get a lot of this because, you know, it becomes like, I don't know how to put it, I can say mixed masala sort of.
Okay.
Because it's like, you know, there's parents, there's step-parents, there's his children, there's his children, her children, our children, and then you've got the extended families.
Yeah.
And now there's not just this two grannies and two granddads, and it's like extra granddads and grandmoms and things like that. So it can get very, very complicated. I think the important thing is to try and get to the truth. Many times there's a lot of lies spoken against the step-parent, if I can use that word. And I think you ought to keep an open mind. Also, I'm going to open a can of worms and say, even as parents, we have different styles of parenting.
Yeah.
So what I think as a parent, you know, that this is a great misdemeanor and this child should be punished severely. And the other parent may think, no, well, I mean, what are you making such a big deal about?
Mm.
So first of all, they should discuss the style of parenting. What do you think is, you know, and also how do we punish this child, or how do we reprimand this child? Because as you say, the child's going to turn around and say, but you're not my mom, or you're not my dad.
Yes.
I don't have to listen to you.
That's true. I would think parents stand united in the punishment and then later discuss your differences when the child's not there, because I would say kids play one up against the other, even if you're not the biological parent. You always going to be looked at as the bad one. The other thing I was going to ask you is, so when a couple now get married, so maybe one person in that marriage maybe never had kids before, or had kids before, but now they have a child. what is the reaction with the other siblings? Because, you know, there's children from this marriage, there's children from that marriage, and now there's our child.
I think you're using the word very nicely there. It's the word you're using. The my child from this marriage, my child from that marriage, and now we have our child. And the language that they use impacts on how they're actually relating with each other. Because if they could just say our from the very beginning,
yes.
This is our children now, this is our children now from both sides of the family, and this is now still our child from this relationship. If the language is right from the beginning and correct, then I think a lot of other issues will kind of fall by the wayside.
That is so true. That is so true. So instead of saying my husband's children or my wife's children, you just say our children. You're so right, because you'll say that once you believe it yourself. Hence, it will filter through to the family.
Exactly.
Yes.
It's more like children learn more from what you do than what you say. We always say that.
And it comes back again to then, how do you go into this relationship? How did you start it first? And you know, often we say the child must also adapt, etc. How have the parents or the new family developed their own new image?
And prepared everybody to be...
Because they're trying to fit it into the old mold.
Yes.
Okay, you can't fit all the stuff into an old mold. You have to create a new mold. And how does everybody participate and become partners in that old mold? I mean, in the new mold.
Yes, in the new mold.
In the new mold.
Yes. And so it's all about love, acceptance, and bringing everybody together, which obviously that major role would be played by the two people in the marriage.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then later, obviously, the extended family will adapt because they see the now new primary family living as one. So that external influence will just have to disappear eventually.
It does.
If you create that unity from the very, very beginning.
But if you've got the gaps in the beginning...
Yes.
You're allowing for all of that to flow in anyway.
That's
because,
true.
You know, the most common one is my ex-in-laws don't want this happening, or my... And you keep hearing this. And often when you're sitting with the couple in front of you, you have to ask them, okay, how do you as a couple respond
to
the so-called ex-in-laws?
And I think my common one, I would say, is that when a couple want to marry, you know, again, if, you know, one party has been divorced or widow or widower, what will people say? And you know how I'm so anti that local hokey hair syndrome. Don't worry about what local will say. Think about, I'm doing what will please Allah. That's what we need to realize. I am doing what will please Allah. I'm not committing zina. I'm not doing haram. I'm doing what will please Allah. So, you know, people, we need to stop suffering from local hokey hair syndrome. That's something that's very, very important. Nabila, you're laughing there. Nabila, what would you like to say? Because you have a lot of people who come and say, I want to get married and I've met this person and this person will be a good father to my child, or this person will be a good mother to my child, but my family said I can't get married because there's going to be issues. I think everyone's being too quick to predict nowadays. They've forgotten the importance of having faith and tawakkal in Allah and saying that, you know, I'm doing something that's correct. Inshallah, Allah will bring blessings and mercy and make things okay. Very interesting topics. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to have another ad break. Today, our program is going to extend for 2 hours. So we are going to talk about transition in such detail after the ad break. We're also going to be speaking to Brother Muhammad Makra shortly. So we will continue, and please do call us on 011-854-1548. We'll have the news at 11, and thereafter we'll be back on air, inshallah. Please do not go away. Very important topic. Please call us with your questions, with your concerns. Let the experts that are with me here on my panel give you some advice, inshallah. And let's see how we can educate, empower, and uplift ourselves and our communities, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're back on Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir. Unfortunately, we need to say goodbye to our listeners who are tuning in through Sirius FM. But we're still with our listeners who are here with us on Radio Islam International. Today we have a 2-hour program, and we're talking about step parenting and blended families. I have on the line Brother Muhammad Makra, who is a life coach. He is also the discipline officer at a high school in Lanesia. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salam and good morning to all your listeners.
Jazakumullahu khairan. Brother, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, doing well.
Okay, now, you know, we're talking about blended families, step-parenting, and you being a discipline officer at one of the high schools in Lanesia. You have first-hand experience with a lot of the teenagers who come from blended families. And what are the common complaints from the teens and their parents.
You see, when it comes to blended families and stuff like that, it plays a huge impact on the kids psychologically,
mm-hmm.
as well as academically, you know,
mm-hmm.
because there's a sense of withdrawal, you know, and left out, you know, the kid feel weak, you know, unloved, let's put it that way there.
Yes.
So it's a huge impact on a kid's life itself, yeah.
To what extent do you think these children use this, my father doesn't love me, got another wife, or my mother doesn't love me, she got another husband, to what extent do they use it as a crutch to get away with manipulation at school and at home?
That's the very first thing they use. It's the truth. Yeah, you know, it's a reality, and to get out of it, they use that. It's a mechanism, you know, to get out of certain things and what have you. But there's more of an underlying issue behind it. It's a sense of calling out as well, you know, that they need help. But, you know, when it comes to when they're pushed into a corner, that's the first thing they use, you know. Because 90% or let's put it as 90% of the kids do not have the support to help them through this difficulty, yes.
And what are the parents' complaints? Like when a father or mother remarries, or maybe if a father is part of a polygamous marriage and he has another family, when they meet with you, what do they tell you about their child?
You see, you're talking about their own couple child where they remarry and got a child, and there's another set where you got the offspring from a second marriage, whatever it is.
Yes.
Right? Rebellious, you know, the sense of tension between the step parents and the step kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's barrier where they, you know, there is going to be conflict between the parents. So most of the stuff we have or have to deal with is the rebelliousness of the kid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
towards the step parents, and vice versa, you know, it works both ways.
So I think a lot of the time, unfortunately, the step parent is looked upon in a negative light. Like they wouldn't like the step mom or step dad disciplining them, or you know, telling them what they're doing is not correct. Obviously.
Oh no, definitely. The word come out to you that you're not my father, you're not my mother.
Yes.
You know, and that's there's a huge impact because it sets back on the step parents. Give and take also the single parents, let's put them into the picture as well. You know, it creates this line between the trust issue. You know, and the kids don't accept it because when they're brought up and into this world and they're growing up, they have a mother figure and a father figure. And splitting up creates a huge, huge, huge impact on a kid's life.
Sorry, please carry on. I was going to ask you something.
So when the parents remarry, you know, it's a whole new person into their lives, you know. They can never be their mother or they can never be their father. So the kids measure the step parents or the original formal biological parents.
But don't you think that's very unfair for someone to do, for these teenagers to do on this other person? Because in some cases, you could have the biological parent that is absent for whatever reason. And now this new parent, I'm not going to even say step, I'm going to say this other parent, has filled in that role emotionally, financially, psychologically, in every way. Do you think that can also be very unfair to that parent just to be labeled as, you're not my father, you're not my mother, when this person has stepped up, when your biological parent has not done his or her duty?
So I totally agree with you. It's not fair on the new parent. Let's use the terminology new parent, right?
Yes.
It's not fair upon him to get labeled in that sense. True. You know, you're not my parent, whatever it is. But you see, there's a transition period when it happens, you know, and the necessary parent needs to take that steps and you know, talk to the kid, introduce them formally, informally, you know, and build that relationship when it comes to that point in time where they accept it.
Yes,
you know,
and it can't be done overnight.
No, definitely not. Definitely. It takes sometimes months and years, depending on the individual, it's impacted on it.
Yeah.
It works both ways to the parent or the new parent and to the youngsters, you know, that's getting introduced. So it's not something overnight that you can try and overcome.
Yes.
You're gonna have your conflicts, you're gonna have your fights, you know. In that token, there is some success as well, you know, where a lot of, you know, new parents and new kids are bonding so lovely.
Mashallah.
You know, It's just you get them where you have the rebellious. Yes, you can have your arguments and you can have your discomfort talks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it depends how you as a new parent carry yourself, and how the youngster carry him or herself on a situation like that.
Yes. What is your advice to the teenagers who may be listening in today? What would you like to say to them? If their mom or dad remarries, what would you like to say to them regarding this new person coming into their life?
My first thing I would say, give them an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't label, have negative negative thoughts, negative impressions against them. You know, let the new parent, come and express themselves, show their kindness, show their love, basically show the true colors to you, and you be the judge on that. But, don't come into a situation closed-minded already.
Yes.
There is a reason for, the new parent to come into the family.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason, can it be the mom or the dad.
Mm-hmm.
And as a parent that's doing this, single parent or divorced parent, getting another partner in life, it's for the benefit of the family.
Of course.
So it's not something that, I want to remarry for whatever reason it is. If you've got a kid and a parent that has a kid, well, always think of the child first before entering into another marriage or engaging to another, partner.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, the impact is great, and the parents do talk to the kids about it and what have you, but as a child or as an adult or a teenager, have an open mind.
What would your advice be to mums and dads who are in this situation now, who have remarried and they have a difficult teenager to deal with from their partner's child? What would you like to say to them? Because sometimes they probably would feel like, listen, I cannot do this, marriage is not working out because this child is coming in between. What would you like to say to those mums and dads?
Okay. Give a kid a chance. Give a kid a chance to build and what can I say is win the child over with love, with compassion. Show the kid, that you're not there as a mean person, or an evil person. Give it time and opportunity. As I said, it's not overnight. It takes months and it takes years. Talk about it. If you have issues, with the child, it can be the father or the mother. The biological parent is one primary one in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Talk to them and say, we're having an situation, we're having an issue, let's discuss this. But don't discuss it one-on-one, Do it collectively as a family.
Yes.
You see, most problems arise where you do a one-on-one, a new parent and a new child. The one-on-one confrontation happens, so the kid automatically has a backstep. He feels alienated. He feels alone.
Mm.
He doesn't feel support. He looks for his biological parent to be with him. Discusses issues. Yes, the kids are going to throw tantrums. They are going to be rebellious, right?
Mm-hmm.
But give them time to adjust to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're never going to win them. I'll be honest with you. There's always going to be this bit of a level where the kid is not going to be 100% open and everything to you. But over time, accept it, right, and move forward. Eventually, the kids do come. You'll have a lovely, comfortable relationship,
mm-hmm.
because you both know that you guys are not a biological parent or the child. But the best you can do is a 99%,
Don't give up.
Between them.
Don't ever give up.
Okay, it's a continuous battle. You're never going to replace the mom or the dad. That you need to understand this. But you can come very close to be the parent that the kids always love and want.
No, most definitely. Most definitely. Before you leave us, could you please share your contact details with us, Brother Muhammad?
Okay. They can, whoever is in need of us or trying to get hold of us, you can contact me on 074 786 0099.
Okay.
Or alternatively,
Please repeat your number.
It's 074-786-0099.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or they can get in contact with me alternatively on www.happinessinmotion.co.za.
Okay.
www.happinessinmotion.co.za. www.blendedfamily.co.za. I'm on website, I'm on Facebook and extra. If your parents are, you know, blocked and they do not want to, or how to, you know, continue, they need assistance, as well as the
kids. That's where they can contact
you. They can contact me. We can help them, guide them through.
Inshallah. Inshallah. Thank you so much for taking the time to come onto the show with us today and sharing this great information with us. Like I said, you're on ground level dealing with teenagers, so you know what you are faced with daily. May the Almighty reward you in abundance for that sterling work that you are doing, brother. Jazakumallah khairan.
But before I go, just one last thing. Every parent, new parent, give it time. Just you know, give it time. Don't throw the blanket in and say, I'm done now, I'm finished now. Give it time, work on it. And inshallah, you know, Allah Ta'ala will open the doors and hearts of everybody.
Ameen.
And you know what, things will flourish and, you know, it will happen. But JazakAllah for the opportunity to be on your radio station.
JazakAllah.
My feedback helped a lot of people.
Inshallah. Like we said, great words, give it time. Parents, give it time. Teens, give it time, don't judge. JazakAllah, Brother Muhammad, much appreciated. Ameen. Ameen. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, to the ladies that I have with me here in front, Sister Nabila, Sister Rehana, and Sister Joshna, you heard from someone who deals with children on a daily basis, teenagers who are rebellious. Like you said, you know, majority of the children have this negative impact when it comes to this new parent. What are we going to do to change this? Like we said, we need to discuss transition. So Sister Nabila, what would you like to say?
Okay, so firstly I want to say that teenagers, being a teenager is a very difficult developmental stage in the life of any person, right? Whether you be from a nuclear family or from a blended family. So, as a new adult, like you said, new parent, as a new adult going into this transition phase, you need to empathize with this teenager. Before saying that this teenager is manipulative and everything, empathize and see what is this teenager going through. Before you take everything as a personal attack, this child is rebellious, this child is reacting towards me. Let's put ourselves in that child's shoes and see there's a lot of things going on in this child's life. And additional to that, she's a teenager. He's a teenager. Let's understand that before we take everything personally.
Yes.
That's my impression.
So it's very important. But also, Sister Nabila, I want to ask you something. Like, say a couple are divorced. Or just say one parent has passed on and now the other parent wants to get married. What can the other... Okay, let's leave the widow part out now, the widow and the widower part. Let's look at the scenario. Say a couple are divorced for whatever reason, Allah knows best. So maybe the man wants to get married, he's found a partner, he's happy with his partner, and inshallah he wants to move on. Say the mother now, or the ex-wife, how important is her reaction and her opinion about this new parent? How important is it on the mindset of the child that's involved in this blended family? Can she play such a role where she could poison her child's mind against this innocent person, or is her acceptance
ingredient? So it all depends on how she as a mother is dealing with the fact that now her ex-husband is moving on.
Mm-hmm.
How does she transition that phase? So if she's going to, of course, feed this child with negative thoughts, negative emotions, of course the child is going to react negatively towards the new parent.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on the contrary, if she has to feed this child with, well, look, you're special, you have another mom, you have love from two different people, in that way the positive talk can also reinforce kindness towards this new parent.
Yes. Like giving the person a chance.
Yes.
So, Sariana, very important when you spoke about earlier, when you said that, you know what, a lot of acceptance is important. Communication is very, very important. And, you know, like you said, there's no such thing as yours, mine, and ours. It's all ours.
Ours.
Yes.
Yes. What I wanted to say there, like Nabila pointed out, I think if you take the parent... The biological parent of the child has not dealt with their own issues, and very few divorces are amicable.
Yeah.
Come on, let's face the
fact. That's the truth.
All right? So divorces by nature, most of the time, are messy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of emotions that have not been dealt with. Now you hear your spouse is moving on, Maybe you're still in love with your spouse. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe you still have feelings for your spouse. So there's your emotions, you struggling to deal with your emotions.
Mm.
And your child is very sensitive to your emotions. They will pick it up.
Mm.
So if they see negativity in you towards this new relationship that the father is going into, you've already put the mindset in the child that this new relationship is not good. So how is the child going to be positive?
Very unhealthy, true. And again, you know, we come back to the comment that you made, which is so true, where you said, you know, for whatever reason, a couple can get divorced, but you cannot divorce yourself from your role as a parent in a child's
life.
Yes,
and who decided you'd be the parent of this child? Allah.
Exactly.
God decided that you are the best parent for this child.
Yes.
Now comes a time when the parents are not together. It doesn't mean now that you stop being the parent of this child. You will be a parent to that child for the rest of your life. You know, parenting never stops.
Mm.
I mean, look at your mom.
Yes.
She still parents you. It doesn't matter if she's 80 and your child is 60 years old, you're still a parent to that child. So when your role as a parent is not compromised, you will always be a parent to that child. And you're not in a competition with another person.
That's true.
It's not a competition. It's about what's in the best interest of this new family, this blended family.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not fight over it. Let's try and keep an open mind, like Muhammad said. It's so important to keep an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if you decided, for example, you went through this very messy divorce and you decided, I'm never going to get married again. It doesn't mean your spouse feels the same way.
No.
So if your spouse decides, no, okay, now I'm ready to remarry, you just keep an open mind about that. Don't think that, oh, look at him, he's already moving on.
It's true. And I mean, he was in this person's taqdeer, alhamdulillah, be happy for him. You know, another thing about blended families, which we have not touched on, and you know, it's also a reality. Again, it's completely halal. There is absolutely nothing wrong with it. Polygamous marriages. Polygamous marriages, blended family in polygamous marriages. What are your thoughts regarding that? You know, bringing in, you know, this other person into your family. Maybe that person has a child. Maybe that person doesn't have a child. Will have a child with that father or mother.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on
that? Okay, so BB number two, ne?
Yeah, BB number two.
Okay. Let's face it, it's happening. There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
All right? And so sometimes it happens that the first marriage is decades old only.
Okay.
All right? So like I'm married for 20 years, maybe 30 years now. What is the need for him now to have another woman in his life? And then he would marry somebody maybe much younger, who's capable of giving him a child. Who's capable of giving him another child. But now you got to sit around and think that, okay, Allah has also, God, we know in Islam, I'm going to talk about Islam,
yes.
It's allowed.
Of course.
All right?
Halal.
And it's halal. So you have to keep an open mind about that. It's very difficult because it involves emotions. What I say is go for counseling when you cannot deal with your emotions.
Okay, now I'm going to take you back to another important thing.
Mm-hmm.
How important is the role of the first wife in acceptance and making this transition easy for her husband, for the co-wife, for all the family involved? How important is this role for the first wife? And how important is her attitude towards this entire scenario?
Wow.
You know, firstly to please Allah, we need to remember, and also in the success of everything in this family, because remember, like we said, it is completely halal. You are dealing with children that come from polygamous marriages. You are dealing with blended families. So again, it's a reality. Whatever we're talking about today is what you are dealing with on an everyday level. Yes,
okay, so I think when it comes to polygamy, the main stigma attached to it is more cultural.
Yes.
We have a culture where we believe that polygamy is wrong.
Mm.
Where, like you said, religiously it is completely halal.
Yes.
Right? So I think that the most difficult thing that the first wife has to deal with is, like Auntie Jana said, the emotions. We need to deal with that pain. We need to deal with the hurt. We need to deal with the betrayal, if that's what we're feeling. As first wives, that's what they need to deal with, all of these emotions. And I think if all of these emotions are dealt with correctly, with, of course, maybe the process of counseling or something like that, the first wife could reach the level of acceptance, mm-hmm. and then that would make co-parenting very much easier, the concept of co-wives yes. much easier.
And also transition for the family.
Yes.
Because ultimately we're talking about how children adapt to this extended blended family. Shoshana, you'd like to add on to that?
Okay, just in terms of that, it's quite an ideal way of looking at it, right? Mm. And we're hoping that's how it should be. But in reality, unfortunately, it doesn't always pan out
in that way,
right?
That's
often,
true.
The first wife feels quite betrayed, as Nabila spoke about it. And how do they, the first couple, I'm going to call it the first couple, how would they communicate the need for a second relationship?
Mm.
And is that communicated? Because often with clients and research with them, we find that it was very unexpected and very surprising. So they're in a state of shock. And when someone's in a state of shock, there's lots of anger and hurt. And so that takes over.
And
what is there?
Yes, and it also makes it, again, difficult for the children.
And yes.
Okay.
So the emotions, again, as Rihanna spoke about, if we can't put our emotions in check and we can't get it to be kind of adapted to or even explored, it's going to overrun every other aspect
in
of
any relationship.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, now we're going to focus primarily on transition after the ad break, because we need to go to ads now. Please call us on 011-854-1548. We're talking about step-parenting and blended families, and I look forward to hearing from you, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You're back on Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Allah here, and today we're talking about step parenting and blended families, and I have the ladies in front of me from Islamic Helpline, as well as Joshna Lachman, who works very closely with the ladies from Islamic Helpline. She is a social worker at Family Life, Sister Rihanna Adam from Islamic Helpline, as well as Sister Nabila Madi. Earlier we spoke to Brother Muhammad Makra, and we have to face the reality that blended families are here to stay. It is on the increase. It is very common. How are we going to react towards it to make sure that, inshallah, our youth are brought up in homes where they feel stable, where they feel loved, where they feel accepted? How are we going to react when it comes to a difficult child rebelling against their parent for remarrying? Remember, it is completely halal. We need to understand that firstly. So moving forward, like I said, we got, you know, opinions from all the ladies here on the panel that this is the problems that you are faced with on a daily basis, as well as what Mr. Makra had to say. We spoke about transition. So sisters, what can we do? What can you share with us now where we can educate, empower, and uplift ourselves regarding transition and accepting when a parent remarries? And what can we do from the parents' perspective to prepare your family, and for the children that are involved in blended families, what can we do to empower them so that they can be happy and inshallah they can be muhabbat in these families, inshallah?
Okay, firstly, I think we need to understand that as parents and as children, we need to communicate to each other, right? And the first thing that we need to do is understand and acknowledge that we are not duplicating or recreating a nuclear family. This is and always will be a blended family, which means that we cannot expect the child to interact and integrate into this family as they would in a nuclear family. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we need to also make sure that we do not confuse the child, because now they have a dad that they go into, and then they have a stepdad or a new dad. We need to understand that we can't recreate a nuclear family. This is a blended family, and we have to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So as Nabila has been saying, you know, one of the things that we have to look at is planning the blended family.
Yes.
And that's a huge part of bringing it together, and there's quite a few little factors I just want to maybe highlight,
please,
so that people
please.
Can just be aware of it. You know, with anything, when we build a house, we need to place a foundation, and if the foundation isn't set, we're never going to get that house to stand upright forever. So one of the things with a blended family is that it's not an overnight experience. It's a process, so we need to set the foundation. And some of the things that we need to be aware of is that it should be given the time. It shouldn't be rushed into, like, and the time is, sometimes it's been said and it's been researched that it takes at least 3 years for people to unfold and reveal
yes,
their
yes.
true emotions and their sense of being with someone.
Up to 3 years.
Up to 3 years, yeah.
Okay.
So that is a long time. And in the 3 years, it means things like doing activities together, creating new rituals, creating new kind of experiences and new kind of memories with the parties involved.
Mm.
So it's not going back to the old ways. It's recreating and engaging in that level, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things is that one thing that I've been picking up is that when there's too many changes at one time, it can unsettle someone.
Yes.
It unsettles the couple and it unsettles the children.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as the extended family.
Absolutely.
Let's not forget them.
Yes. No, definitely. Yes, definitely.
So it's one change at a time, and each change, like Nabila emphasized here, needs to be communicated.
Mm.
Where everyone's opinion matters,
mm-hmm.
and is being heard, right? It's also the one thing I like, the way what has been spoken about, when we look at blended families, we're thinking about, you need to love my child immediately,
mm-hmm.
or I need to love your child immediately. So there's a kind of expectation placed,
yes.
And let's be honest, it's unrealistic.
Yes,
we haven't got to understand the child, or mm-hmm. we haven't got to understand the other relationships in that home.
Mm-hmm.
And so that takes time. So again, I'm going back to the idea of the planning, building that foundation, setting the base. So it's actually a process. It's not just getting to the result.
Yes.
And now I'm a family.
Of course. It takes time. It takes a lot of work. I mean, in a nuclear family as well, you know, you have differences, you have sibling rivalry, mm-hmm. you have differences of opinion, you can have arguments. But it's about how you handle the challenges that builds on the strength of your relationship.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that's been going on here. And I love this one about making parenting changes before you marry.
Okay.
I know we have a lot of couples that come to us after they marry and they want to make the changes.
Okay.
So, this is about making the changes before you marry, and again, mm-hmm. it brings back again, how do you communicate about this?
Mm-hmm.
Do you even communicate about this?
So when you say making changes, right, let's be more specific, like the parenting styles, the responsibility, this parent will do this, that parent will do that, this new parent is coming in, what would be expected of them,
yes.
with regards to contributing to the household and
that's,
all that.
That's the kind of, and even in terms of making decisions around the child's well-being,
yes.
which parent, can the other parent get involved? Because that parent is residing in that home.
Yeah. Like a simple thing is, who's going to take the child to school in the morning?
Yes. Okay, and the child have Kellogg's, or can it have Weet-Bix?
Something simple like that,
yes.
could become a problem. That's true. Again, I would assume, obviously, you know, parent meetings, say it in the dress up is a problem. You know, jalsas, you know, which parents go together, or can they all come together? So all of those decisions, you need to sit down and talk about it before marriage.
Before marriage, yes.
Before
because
marriage.
The child is sitting with this dilemma.
Yes.
Of should I ask, or shouldn't I tell, or who should I tell? And that's unreasonable demands on the child.
Yes. I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to take you completely out of your comfort zone now, right?
Sure.
Have you ever dealt with a child, when we're talking about a young child or maybe even a teenage child, whose bond with this new parent was so strong that the biological parent felt left out?
I think we have had some cases like that, and it's natural, especially in the beginning formative years of the child, if the biological parent isn't being present, and when the new parent comes in and shows that affection, etc., it does help the child to restore that sense of being, and obviously the child is going to bond there.
Yes.
And then what happens sometimes that's scary is that when the child is already bonded with the new parent, then the biological parent feels the need to come in
to
again.
Step up.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that can create a lot of friction.
Mm.
So often we deal with that kind of conflict as well.
You know, when we look at it sometimes, unfortunately, we just look at it from one angle. What we're trying to do today is trying to look at the situation from multiple angles so we can get solutions, inshallah.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Okay, like I said, we can't overemphasize the importance of communication to make it easy for everyone inside to settle in. Sister Rihanna, do you want to add to that?
Okay, I think a lot of what Joshna and Nabila said is very relevant. It's all, like Joshna said, it's not a quick fix. So in a nuclear family, what she's explaining, that it takes 3 years for a couple to adjust to each other. Many couples become parents even before that 3 years is, you know.
That's
so now you haven't even sort of gelled mm-hmm. as a couple, mm-hmm. and now you're parents. It's overwhelming to become a parent. You've got this little being that's completely dependent on you.
Yeah.
Are you mature enough to deal with that? Now, add to that, now you've got these blended family situations. So you have to think about, give it time. There's no quick fix. You can't, as I said before, you can't take a band-aid and just put over a wound and say, oh, everything's going to be fine. Mm. No. There's going to be fights. There's going to be disagreements. But you've got to expect that. You've got to expect that.
And we can't also sweep it under the carpet and say the child must, you know, get
adjust.
On with it. You know,
just adjust.
Don't extend. Yes. Okay. Mr. Nabila wants to add on.
Okay, so I think the second point for the transition is the acknowledgement. So regardless of how old the child is, regardless of how old the parents are, every person within the blended family needs to feel acknowledged and needs to feel respected. I think that's the second point of the transition.
Yes.
Joshna can maybe add on.
Thanks, Nabila. I think that's true, because when we speak about acknowledgement and being accepted, it's the core.
Yeah.
It's the core of every being.
Yeah.
The need to be respected, to be loved, to be valued, and to be seen.
Self-esteem.
And as Nabila spoke earlier on, if these needs are not met, it's easy for someone to divert.
Mm.
And often when they're diverting, they're going to go to spaces where they're going to feel that it's been met. For example, drugging, substance abuse,
getting into the wrong company. Yes.
All of that, that fills that void for them. Those vital needs need to be met. And unfortunately, fortunately, I'm hoping that parents are able to be aware of this as adults, so that they can instill that in their children. So even if it's not a positive emotion, even if it's a sort of a negative emotion, like, I hate the situation, for the child to be feeling safe enough to express that emotion.
And I think it's very important to be like, stop the labeling, stop saying stepmom, stepdad, half brother, half sister. Just say, my family, my mother, my father, you know, my brother, my sister.
And use the emotions that you want to express, and be okay to be able to do so, because a lot of children will be told, you must love them. You can't say ugly things about them.
I think we have a call online. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. You've tackled a very, very sensitive topic.
Gee, who am I speaking to?
I'm speaking to Muhammad.
How are you, Muhammad?
Allah shukr. He brings back a lot of memories. I lost my mom when I was barely 4 years of age.
May Allah grant you genitals with those, inshallah.
My dad's remarried.
Gee.
And I will never call her a stepmother. I'll never.
Alhamdulillah.
She was a mother, a darling of a mother. She was so just. That, you know, it was the old trend that the younger brother always inherits the bigger brother's clothing and shoes. If you remember what I mean, that when the big brother, when the small brother needs shoes, they need to go with the big brother's old shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom came in, she said to my dad, that will never happen. What you buy for the big one, you buy for the small one. And what I want to say to you is that what happens is that why the youth of today or the youth of the past, they have always had a bad tendency towards their parents.
Mm.
If you look at it, we've been taught about Marimar on the wall, who's the fairest of us all.
Yeah.
Mm. You remember? It brings up the wrong perception that stepmothers are cruel, stepparents are evil.
Yes.
And I think if that books are taken out from the syllabus and people are not taught that, and they'll learn to realize what stepmothers and stepparents are about.
Most definitely.
Honestly, because that brings the perception that whichever way you look at it. Look, when my dad remarried, look, I was very attached to my late mom.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't do without her. Allah grant them all gentle freedom.
Ameen.
My children did not know that that was my second mom, as I would call it, until 92 when she passed away.
Oh,
and when I took them to the capistan, I turned this mask up, this mask. Then they asked me about what you mean by ma, ma.
Yes.
So I said, Abba calls everybody ma who are elderly, and the young ones being.
Yes.
And my wife to me, please explain to them. When I told them, they could not believe that was my second mom.
Oh, mashallah, mashallah.
And now we have brothers and sisters from my mom, and we are all united.
Alhamdulillah.
So Allah make it easy. That's why I don't know if you agree with me that these books should be taken out.
I do. I fully agree with you. When it comes to nursery rhymes and fairy tales, you know what? Our children need to stop learning all of this. They need to learn about values and morals. I think, you know, we need to come to this point where we stop stereotyping. That's the problem. This generalizing, this using of this terminology, step and evil and wicked and half. We need to stop that and say, my mother, my brother, my father. And Alhamdulillah, you're the perfect example for what you've been saying. You know, inshallah, you know, our listeners can take back so much from what you've shared with us.
JazakAllah. I actually walked out when this topic started because I couldn't take it. It was very sensitive, but I felt courage, came back into the house.
Aww.
And I said, let me contribute.
Alhamdulillah. And I'm so glad that you have, because it can give so much of hope and so many solutions to so many people that are listening in. I mean, everybody that is tuned in has someone in their family that is part of a blended family. It's a reality. And inshallah, you know, we can work to make, to create the muhabbat.
Like you say, you give love to get love.
Yes.
You know, anger begets anger.
Yes.
Vulgarity begets vulgarity. Love begets love. So let us learn to give love, because you're not going to lose anything by giving love and understanding, appreciating and accepting.
Definitely.
It's Allah's will. Allah called them away, and Allah's given us something in replacement. We got to appreciate it and accept it and acknowledge it.
Alhamdulillah.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum. What a beautiful way to bring us to the end of the show. What beautiful words to live by from somebody who is who never had the separation, thinking that that's not my mother, that's my ma. I mean, so beautiful. I think we're all touched by this. Okay, my beloved sisters, before we end off, can I please have the contact number for Islamic Helpline in Indonesia, in case any of our listeners would like to contact you?
Okay, it's 011-852-1930.
Okay, please repeat that for us.
011-852-1930.
Joshna, if you could please share with us your contact numbers. Joshna is a social worker with Family Life Center.
Okay, I'll give you the Lanesha South office number.
Please.
It's 011-855-2359.
Could you please repeat that for us?
011-855-2359.
Jazakumallahu khairan. A quick party. Just one quick comment from all the ladies on the panel before we round off. Sister Nabila?
Okay, so I think if you know of anyone that's struggling to adapt with the issues faced by blended families, I think it's important to get the help that you require. So
yes.
If there's a child that's going through some sort of difficulty, play therapy is very good for them.
Yes.
When it's teenage or adolescent counseling. But more importantly than that, if the parents are struggling, like Joshna mentioned earlier, the Enrich program is a wonderful way to start.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you some sort of feedback as to how you can work together as a blended family. So for all those that need it, the contact details.
We have the contact details. Yes, Joshna. Ameen, what would you like to say before we end off?
Okay, firstly, thank you very much for this opportunity. And I think it's such a topic that needed to be spoken about. And I do hope that people just bear in mind that they are the drivers of their vehicle.
Most definitely. And it's blended families are not going to stop.
No.
So we need to accept it and find a suitable way to move on.
For sure. And they need to come in for help if they need to.
Most definitely.
I would also like to say Jazakallah for giving us this opportunity. We deal with it very often at Helpline. And I would like to say, don't ever lose hope. Even if you think the situation has come that is so hopeless, there's always hope. And there's a reason why Allah put you together. Isn't he say that Allah decides who you marry, or God decides who's your partner? So don't give up. Seek help. And if your child is being difficult, there's a reason why the child is being difficult. So try and understand and give it time, love, and patience.
Inshallah, great words to live by. And also just remember, there is no problem that Allah can fix. Allah is bigger than all of your problems. Have faith. Remember, it's not impossible. I mean, we had such positive feedback from the brothers that called us just now. And let's work towards remembering that whatever situation we're in, Allah has brought us in because Allah knows it. Inshallah, we will be successful in it. So inshallah, we wish the best to all the families that are in blended families. Remember, first and foremost, you have come together because Allah has brought you together, like Sister Rehana said. On behalf of myself and my engineer, Jazakumallahu khairan for being tuned in with us here on Radio Islam International. Alhamdulillah, a two-hour program. Hope we've been able to educate and empower you. Please remember us in your du'as, and we will be back with you, inshallah, next week. Jazakumallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.